And so I would highly recommend that you do this model if you want to change people's life. It's called the plane, the pilot, and the engineer. It's a very popular model in productivity. The plane is 80% of the time. The pilot is 10 to 15% of the time, and the engineer is 5 to 10% of the time. The plane is you doing the thing. It is you focused and locked in on making the impact and making the change. You're not course adjusting. You were flying this plane where it needs to go. The pilot is all about course adjusting, long-term thinking, vision planning, goals. What is the big picture? Where am I looking to go? And do I need a course correct? The engineer is... You're listening to The Isaac Velez Show, a podcast that inspires high performers to reach new heights and be better than their best. My name is Isaac, and I'm best known for my performance coaching, elevating elite athletes and entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. On this podcast, I sit down and share vulnerable stories on my journey, lessons that I've learned, and I bring on high performers as guests to unlock new insights and share authentic conversations about what winning really looks like. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome everyone to today's episode on the Isaac Velez Show. Today we're going to be talking about ethical leadership and a blueprint for longevity. To me, what ethical leadership means is people that inspire, that know how to galvanize, know how to bring people to bring the best out of themselves, and they're doing so for the right reasons, and they abide by a code. All of us have a different code, a reason how we operate, not even a reason, but the way in which we operate. Some people will say that their code is precision or family. Some people will say that it's honesty, hard work, discipline. Usually a code is one, two words that really define how we filter everything. And so, for example, my code's a philosophy, it's stoicism. It's the focus on what we can control and the acceptance of that which we cannot. It's the love of challenges and moderation and balance in the things that we choose to do. And it is looking to wholeheartedly always be better than we were in the past, as Ernest Hemingway once eloquently put it. In fact, for me, great leaders usually have these mantras or they have these great poems, so to speak, that they always look at, that they always reference when you hear them. And their eyes sparkle a little bit too when they talk about the readings that they have, right? The books that they read, the audiobooks that they listen to, the podcasts they consume. They're delighted by this kind of information. And one of my favorite poems is by Kipling. And it's the famous poem If. And it's just all about, you know, if you can do this when this is happening, if you can be this, but not too much of it. It really follows the Stoic virtues of moderation and balance. And if you can do all these things, he says at the end, then you'll be a good man, my son. And goodness can be a bit relative, but ethics is a little bit different. Ethics abides by making sure that the team itself will really feel that what is going on is good and just and fair. Because ethics is less about the individual and more about the collective versus morality. We all have our own morality, how we view the things. And there has been holes in the argument of moral relativity, which is what I would argue we focus on or what we have. Like, we all have our own moral compass. And ethics is more of a collective standard. Right? It's unethical to murder someone, right? That's unethical. It is moral if that person is entering your house and they are looking to hurt your family or kill your family, right? If you kill that person in self-defense, that to you is morally justified because you are protecting yourself and your family. And you are putting away someone that could have done it to someone else. Society-wise, you're still killing someone. It's unethical. And so moral relativity, because some people will say, well, that is much better to protect your family than it is to be ethical. And so it's morally justified. Again, ethics is more about the group. And so the reason I just say that is to separate them in your head a little bit, that remember, moral is more individually based and ethics is more collective based. So ethical leadership is about doing the right things for the right reasons for the people, right? So it's a little more utilitarian in this sense. So how do you set this up? How do you become an ethical leader? How do I look to continue being an ethical leader and continue to improve my leadership abilities? First, you got to start with breaking down each component. So we talked a bit about ethics. So talk a bit a little about leadership. You have books like How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. You have The Five Levels of Leadership by John C. Maxwell, I believe. you have books like Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, or, you know, Outliers as well by Malcolm Gladwell. You have books like maybe Winning or Relentless by Tim Grover. You have books like the Everyday Hero by Robin Sharma. These books talk about leadership. They talk about what it is to lead. In fact, right over here, I have this book that talks about leadership in a different way, and it's called Unreasonable Hospitality. And it's all about the remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. And all this starts with the leadership, the people at the top, the people that trickle down this kind of thinking. That is about a story of a restaurant where the people, the servers working at the restaurant, were doing unreasonable things to take care of their people, taking care of the dining, taking care of the clients that were dining at the restaurant. That starts with the top. So when you're looking to lead, and you're looking to improve your ability to lead, you have to ask yourself, what is my why for inspiring others? What is my why for what I do, what I do? Remember, everything that we do always starts with a why. Simon Sinek talks about this beautifully in Start With Why. Everything starts with a why. And even when it comes to habits, the strongest habits we can have are identity-based habits. I want to lose weight, so I'm going to run. That's different than saying, I'm a runner. What do runners do? They run. Your identity literally defines your habits. There's nothing stronger than identity-based habits. And so in leadership, ask yourself, why are you doing this? Once you figure out the why, the igaki, I still can't say that word. It's a Japanese word for purpose. It's beautiful. I would look up the framework. It's more illustrative. It's better to see it visually than it is to explain. It really is like four circles in a Venn diagram that show the overlap and the overall culmination of purpose. And I recommend that everyone, there's a book on it too. I have the audio version, and it is called just that word, spelled I-K-A-G-A-I. Now, when you have that, when you have the why, and Simon Sinek illustrates this in three circles, the why, the how, and the what. You have the why. How are you going to do this? So, for example, I have a why to invest, influence, and innovate in everything that I do. I want to move people. I want to galvanize people. I want to be able to invest myself, my resources, my time, my money, my energy into what I am doing, meaning I have to find it very meaningful. And I have to be able to innovate. I like change. I like new things, and I want to try new spin on things, meaning I have to have the bandwidth and the operational capacity to be able to change these things, which means I need some position of power or leadership, some position that allows me to do these things and have the power and the influence to do these things. So that's part of the why. It's not the whole story. We go to the how. So how am I doing that? I love entrepreneurship. To me, entrepreneurship is best defined as the marriage between business and life. Entrepreneurship is living for me. The ability to do what I do, to try new things, to, you know, work with a team, to innovate, to have setbacks and figure out how to overcome these setbacks. I can't have it any other way. So the how is business. The how is investing. The how is speaking. I love to speak as well. So these are the different ways and how I convey my why. And then the what am I doing? Like, what is the actual impact? Right? And so that really becomes, what is the tangible result of the actions that we're taking? Right? How we do things, and then what happens to the things that we're doing, or what is happening as a byproduct of the things that we're doing. And so with leadership, it's going to operate the same way, right? You start with the why, as we mentioned, and then you move to, what kind of things are you going to embody that you want your team to embody? You are the mirror of what they should be looking at. You are doing the things that you want your people to do. If you don't commit to doing them, your people can't commit to doing them. And so the best way to describe this really is the five levels of leadership, as Maxwell puts it. And it talks about, you know, the management stages, to the leadership stages, to the leaders who inspire, you know, great team members, to the leader that inspire other leaders, to the leaders that inspire other leaders who inspire other leaders. Really like those thought leaders at the top level. For you to inspire someone, they have to be able to respect you. For you to inspire leaders, they have to respect your leadership abilities. And for you to inspire leaders that inspire other leaders, you have to be someone that is so good at bringing the leader out of someone that they want to inspire others just like you inspired them, to be leaders, not just to inspire and empower other people. And so the difficulties arise as we go up the ladder, the more and more finesse, so to speak, is required in this thing. So how do we create the blueprint of longevity, right? The episode is titled Ethical Leadership, a Blueprint for Longevity. How do we do long-term success? Think of it as we're building a rocket ship. The rocket ship is 0 to 20, right? It's your growing stages. It's where you're figuring your stuff out. And it's the rocket ship built, I don't know where they, it's Kennedy Center, wherever they shoot rockets out of in Florida, I think what it is. You're building the rocket. That's your growth stage. At 20, that rocket is built and it's ready to take off. Some people take longer. Some people go right away. But that rocket is built. That doesn't mean there's some tweaks that the astronauts do within or the team does within, but the rocket is built. It's ready to take off. Sometimes it has delays. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it goes right on schedule. As we blast off, we're realizing that we have all this fuel, all this time, and we're burning this time as we're going up and discovering where it is that we want to go. But at this point, when we're talking about leadership, we've already defined some route. We're already in some avenue. Whether you're a business owner or a career professional or an entrepreneur, you've defined some area that you're going in. Now it's time to look again at the end destination, as we talked about before, in the reverse engineering your life. And we're trying to say, what am I shooting for here? You know, am I going to the stars? Am I going to moon? Am I going to Mars? And what you do when you have an objective is you have a course, a trajectory. And so when you set the trajectory, you have this path that you're going to go on. When you set a path for your life, you can then follow it by working on the day-to-day, making sure it aligns with the long-term objective. And the blueprint to success is a very similar pattern. What are the inputs that you have to do today? What are the things you have to read? What are the actions that you have to do? What are the conversations you need to have? How are you going to inspire your team? The day-to-day is focusing on these things, and as you do that, your leadership capacity improves. How's your empathy? How's your intelligence? How's your problem-solving? How's your communication skills? How's your ability to handle problems and face adversity? How's your patience? How's your ability to recognize good talent? How's your ability to be a hard worker? There's a lot of components. And the more components that I do better at, the more components I find out that I'm still not doing that great in, and I have to do a lot better. And so this self-awareness presents an opportunity for growth. And so the blueprint of longevity is, as Zig Ziglar would put best, the best way and the fastest way to success is replacing bad habits with good habits. A good habit is being a student of life and always looking to learn and being curious about the other ways you can grow. A student of life is never accepting good as enough and continuing to good for more. A good student of life is someone that is willing to be taught by those even that are beneath them, and so to speak, in a sense. And so this framework involves you always questioning, always looking to improve, and always growing. And the framework also says, are you doing the things for the right reasons? And so I would highly recommend that you do this model if you want to change people's life. It's called the plane, the pilot, and the engineer. It's a very popular model in productivity. The plane is 80% of the time. The pilot is 10 to 15% of the time, and the engineer is 5 to 10% of the time. The plane is you doing the thing. It is you focused and locked in on making the impact and making the change. You're not course adjusting. You were flying this plane where it needs to go. The pilot is all about course adjusting, long-term thinking, vision planning, goals. What is the big picture? Where am I looking to go? And do I need a course correct? The engineer is fixing the problems. You lose a close family member. This business venture fails. You get fired from your job. You get laid off from your job. You lose a friend. You just have been having a lot of stressful moments in the business. These are the things that you need to adjust, and you need to fix the plane, because now the plane has a problem. And without fixing these things, you're not going to be able to get to the destination. And so this is the kind of framework that I would implement in order for you to improve a lot of things. But when it comes to leadership, always remember your ability to inspire change, the inception of change in someone else's mind from what you did, that's going to be your best power. And it's ethical if you were doing it for the right reasons, you were treating people with respect, you have a code to operate by, and you were looking at the big picture that is good and just and righteous. Thank you all for tuning into today's episode. I really hope you all enjoyed. Let's close it out right. Veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. That concludes today's episode of The Isaac Velez Show. If you gained any value from today, we'd be grateful if you share the episode and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you were looking to get more involved with us, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. See you in the next episode.